Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Weinberg, and I'm from the Northeast Fishery Science Center. I'm the liaison between the Science Center and the Mid-Atlantic and New England Fishery Management Councils, and I'm also the chairman of the SAW process. Today I'll be reviewing the results and peer review of the latest SAW-SARC that was conducted in Woods Hole. Okay, the process, just one slide first to describe the SAW-SARC process. This is something that the Northeast Fisheries Science Center has the lead on carrying out, but it's actually a regional process that has oversight by the Northeast Regional Coordinating Committee. So the stocks that are put on the agenda for the SARC, as well as the way the process is conducted, has input from the NRCC, which members of the NRCC include the executive director and chairmen of both councils, the leadership of the regional office, the leadership of the Science Center, and the leadership of the ASMFC. So in a sense, we're conducting this process, but the region as a whole is involved in the SAW-SARC. The assessments are carried out by working groups, SAW working groups, and SAW stands for Stock Assessment Workshop. And in this case, there were two cod stocks on the agenda, and the working group was chaired by an SSC member from your New England Council. And the working group had 3 week-long meetings to conduct their work. Following those 3 week-long meetings, there was an external peer review by the Center of Independent Experts, and I'd like to point out that we don't have any say in selecting these people. The Center of Independent Experts is an independent contractor that finds and reviews independent experts from all over the world, and they supply experts, in this case, fishery science, to review our stock assessments. So we simply tell them what kinds of expertise we need for this peer review, and then they send us the names of the reviewers who they've selected. So there, I wanted to emphasize that they really are independent. The chairman of the SARC panel was another member, not the same one, but a different member of your New England SSC. And the review that takes place at the SAW-SARC is primarily to review the science, and it's not a management meeting. The products that come out of the SAW-SARC include reports from the review panel as a whole, as well as individual reports from the individual CIE panelists. And then there are science reports that come out as well that include the numerical results and conclusions. And here are some links to the documents if you would like to find those review reports. And as I mentioned, for management advice, there isn't really any management advice in the SAW-SARC. It's a review of the stock itself and the stock status. And the management, there are some projections that are done in these as part of the SAW-SARC process, but those projections, in a sense, are providing a lead-in to the PDT and the SSC, which actually mulls over how this will be translated into management advice. So in particular for this SAW-SARC, it was conducted in Woods Hole from December the 3rd to the 7th, and this is the peer review now. The names of the panelists that were on the SAW-SARC are on the left. Dr. Pat Sullivan was the chair from your SSC, Noel Cadigan, John Casey, and Stephen Holmes. And the two stocks that were reviewed were Gulf of Maine cod and Georges Bank cod. Now, the terms of reference, The as you know from, if you've been hearing me talk for a few years about these sauce arcs, the terms of reference and the way they're developed have evolved over time. About 10 years ago, the terms of reference for the stock assessment were very short. And as you'll see in a moment, they've now expanded to about three. We can't fit them all on one slide, and we have to use a smaller font. And so what this means is that the terms of reference spell out the work that the stock assessment people are expected to do, for which will be peer-reviewed. And we develop the terms of reference. First of all, we have what we call generic terms of reference, which we start with, and then we provide those generic terms of reference to the NRCC. And the NRCC members send the draft terms of reference out to all of their committees. And they then filter those comments and send them back to the Science Center. And in this case, we got, this was probably a year ago, February and March, we got a lot of input back from a lot of external feedback. And as a result, we incorporated and added a lot of elements to these terms of reference. And a lot of these are a direct response to requests that were made by your SSC. So I know the font is a little small, but I'll just point out quickly in term of reference one, there's mention of MRIP. That's the new recreational database. So that was a request to be working with the new data. It also in number one, there's a request to update the mortality rates applied to discard components of the catch. And this was another addition that was recommended. In term of reference two, which has to do with evaluating the survey data and indices of abundance, we added in there examining the commercial and recreational LPUE as a possible measure of relative abundance. And again, this each of these elements may sound like it isn't a lot of work, but when you actually sit down with all the data, each of these is a complete analysis that takes a lot of time to do. In number four, there's mention of age-specific and time-specific natural mortality rate. And that's another example. In number five, they're being asked to estimate the fishing mortality rate, biomass, et cetera. And in particular, there are sentences in here about the feasibility of the catchability estimates, the starting year for the assessment, et cetera. And all of this was added in response to the feedback that we got externally. So my point here is that these terms of reference did include a lot of public comment, and they were not developed in a closed box. They were developed as part of the process that we go through with the NRCC. Here's the second page of terms of reference, numbers 6 and 7, and they have to do with updating or redefining the biological reference points. Number 7 is a request to determine the stock status. Then there's a third page of terms of reference. Number 8 has to do with doing projections of the population, and number 9 has to do with research recommendations. And now I'd like to give you a summary of the results from the Gulf of Maine cod stock assessment that were approved by the review panel. And I'll also give you a summary slide of some of the highlights that were written in the panel's report. And I don't have time to go into detail on all of this. These reports are very long. So this is basically, I've gone through them, and this is what I've felt was important to impart as part of my presentation. So for Gulf of Maine cod, the previous Gulf of Maine cod stock assessment was done in the very late part of 2011. So it was done just about a year ago. And the result of that SAW-SARC and CIE review, the conclusion was that the stock was overfished and that overfishing was occurring. So that was the previous result. Now, here are the major findings from the Gulf of Maine cod assessment from the review that just took place in December of 2012. The stock is overfished and overfishing is occurring based on both models, and I'll tell you in a moment about both models. The review panel notes a long history of overfishing this stock. The recent survey indices are at or near the lowest values in their time series, and industry may not catch the quota. The available information points to a low stock concentrated in the Western Gulf, and the vulnerability of the stock is increased. Regarding a couple of points about the model, first of all, with respect to when to start the model, which year, the working group had a lot of discussion about whether to start the model in 1982 or to take it back earlier and begin with data from the 1960s. And this made a fairly big difference in the biological reference points, but it really had very small impact on the estimates of biomass or fishing mortality rate. So the question here was whether to use the early data to start the model. And the working group had a huge discussion about this, and they could not arrive at a consensus. So two approaches were taken to the SARC panel, and they also spent a lot of time talking about this. In the end, they decided that the model should start in 1982 and that it should not be started with the data from the 1960s. And the reason for that had to do with the quality and detail of the data that were available being of a lesser quality and lesser detail from the early period. And if the early data had been used, they had a very large influence on the outcome of the biological reference points. And that was a large concern of the review panel, that using data from an early period for which the results or conclusions would be highly dependent, they felt that that was not a sound scientific decision. And they chose to go forward with the model from 1982 onward, where all of the data sets were complete, detailed, and of a higher quality. For natural mortality rate, the panel put forward two models, one with a constant natural mortality rate and another model where the natural mortality rate increased with time. And again, the working group could not have a consensus on which of these, so they took them to the reviewers, and the reviewers felt that the two models seemed equally valid, and besides that, they gave the same stock status, which, in a sense, when multiple models are used and they give you a similar conclusion, it adds some confidence or robustness to the conclusions. Moving on to a few of their other findings, the fishery landings per unit of effort, they concluded, is not indicative of time trends in the whole stock. In other words, it can't be used as an abundance index. And this is primarily because there have been a lot of regulatory changes, as you can imagine, in the management of cod over time. And it's very difficult to interpret the landings per unit of effort from the fishery because it's been impacted so much by regulatory issues. The biological reference points, the next bullet, a proxy for FMSY was retained, the F40% of this spawning potential of the stock was retained as the overfishing proxy for status determination, assuming an M of 0.2. For the projections, the M of 0.2 and the projections from the M ramp, with M remaining at 0.4 in the short term, were equally valid. But this will be a point to discuss. I'm sure it'll come up. The review panel recommended for long-term projections and for the estimates of biological reference points that M of 0.2 be used, not M of 0.4. And they mentioned that the Gulf of Maine cod assessment represents the best available science. Now I'd just like to show a few of the slides that came out of the stock assessment and some of the results from the models. So the area that's in gray is the stock assessment area for the Gulf of Maine. In this slide, I'm showing from the model the total catch of Gulf of Maine cod from 1982 to 2011. And you can see that in the 1980s, the catch was above 10,000 metric tons. And since the 1990s, there's been a decline. And during the 2000s, the catch has ranged from 5 to 10,000 metric tons, with a slight increase in the last few years. The new MRIP data were used in this case, and it resulted in a slight reduction in the total catch of about 20%. This slide shows the recruitment from the model, from both of the models through time. And recruitment was high in the early years. In particular, it looks like about 1987, there was a very high recruitment that came into the population. But this has declined, and you can see that in the last 5 years, there's almost been a linear decline in both of the models. To the most recent value is the lowest value in the time series. Now, this slide shows the trends in the spawning stock biomass over time for both of the models, the one where M is held constant at 0.2 and the M-ramp model where M is assumed to go from 0.2 up to 0.4. And the points here biomass is currently at about 10,000 metric tons. It was higher in the early 1980s and has declined. It's been the biological reference points are shown. This might have a pointer. I'll just talk about it. The biological reference points are shown in the upper right part of the figure, and the spawning stock biomass threshold and target are shown in the upper right. And there's a mistake. Oh, I see. I've got them. They're two different thresholds because there are two different models. But the thresholds for spawning stock biomass are well above the current estimate of biomass. For the M equals 0.2 model, the threshold for spawning stock biomass is 27,000 metric tons. And for the M-ramp model, it's 40,000. And that's the threshold. The actual spawning stock biomass target would be double. If you double each of those thresholds, that would be the target for the stock. So you can see that the estimate of the population at the moment is roughly 13 to 18% of the spawning stock biomass target. Another thing that is important to note here that was I don't have a slide of it, but it was described during the stock assessment peer review, is that the commercial fishery has aggregated in the western part of the Gulf. And from one 10-minute square, there's a large fraction of the total catch being taken. In 2010, one 10-minute square could account for over 45% of the catch. Moving on to the F estimate, the estimate of fishing mortality rate. I'll start right away with looking at the overfishing threshold, which is shown in the lower right. The value is 0.18. So you can see that across the time series, the estimates of F have been well above 0.18. And the current values of F are approximately 0.9, which are way above the overfishing threshold. The estimates of F have been trending upward since 2000, and I think this is a reflection of the recruitment being low and the catch slightly increasing and the overall stock size being so low. So even when a small catch is taken, it results in a higher F. Here are the biological reference point estimates from the two models that are being put forward. In both cases, the F40% is 0.18, and the SARC had a long discussion about the selection of whether to have the FMSY proxy of F40 or to go with a estimation of the stock recruitment curve, which would lead to a direct estimate of BMSY. And the SARC chose to put forward the F40% as the proxy for this reference point. So it's 0.18. Now for the target, there are two different targets, which I already showed on a previous slide, 54,000 metric tons or 80,000 metric tons, depending on which of the two models is selected. The MSY for these two would be about 9,000 metric tons up to 13,000 metric tons. So, and MSY represents the yield that could be taken if the stock were to be rebuilt. And we're not saying that it is, but if it were to be rebuilt, this is the expected catch that could be taken from such a stock. This slide is a summary of the results from both of the models. Some of you are probably familiar with these plots because we've included them in a lot of our reports. The upper figure shows results from the M equals 0.2 model, and the lower figure is for the what we call the M ramp model. And you can see that qualitatively they give you very similar results. The axis on the y-axis that goes vertically is the ratio of the estimate of the fishing mortality rate to the FMSY value. So if it's above 1, that means that overfishing is occurring. And you can see that the plot here shows the time series of F over MSY for the entire time series from 82 onward. And it always falls in the upper left quadrant, which means, since it's above the value of 1, that means that overfishing is occurring and that all the points have been above that value for the whole time series. Now, thinking a moment about the x-axis, that's the ratio of spawning stock biomass to the spawning stock biomass at MSY. And the value has, again, traveled around, but it's always been roughly 0.2 or lower. And the current value is indicated by the big yellow dot with the green border. So under both models, the stock is there's overfishing occurring. There has been for the whole time series, according to the model. And the stock is well below the threshold for biomass and well below the target for SSB. And then just before we move on to the Georges Bank cod, a couple of comments out of the panel report on the projections, both of which are kind of a warning. First is that if recent weak recruitment continues, productivity and rebuilding of the stock will be less than projected. And next, the center fall and 2012 spring survey abundance indices were the fourth lowest and the lowest in the time series. And the Massachusetts DMF 2012 spring survey index was also the lowest in its time series. The 2012 observations were not incorporated into the assessment model, and therefore the projections that were made are likely to be optimistic. Moving on to the results from Georges Bank cod, I think there's a lot of similarity in the results. From the previous cod assessment, there was an update done in February of 2012, and it concluded that the stock was overfished and overfishing was occurring. This is a map that shows on the screen, at least, it looks kind of greenish. That shows the stock area for the Georges Bank stock. And here's a quick summary of some of the major conclusions from the SARC panel. That number one, the stock is overfished and overfishing is occurring. The panel noted a reduction over time in mean weighted age, truncated age structure, and two decades of poor recruitment. The panel reached consensus on a single assessment model. The assessment model with M equals 0.2 and bias correction is recommended. M, that is natural mortality rate, as well as other factors, might have been changing and be the cause of the retrospective pattern. No stock recruitment relationship has been identified for this stock, and a proxy for FMSY is used. And just like with the other stock, the F40% is selected here. And this is not a change. The F40% has been used for this stock. It was used in the GARM in 2008. It was used in the update in early 2012, and it's retained for this assessment. The next bullet, the fishery LPUE is not indicative of time trends in the whole stock, so it can't be used as an abundance index. And as with the other stock, they concluded that this Georges Bank cod assessment represents the best available science. The survey indices are some of the information that goes into the model, and this shows the trends in the survey indices over time. And it's a little hard to see these because of the scaling of the high point, but in general, each of these surveys has trended downward. And if the y-axis were to be plotted on a different scale for each survey, it would be easier to see. So I think it's difficult to see the information in this slide. This is a plot for the Georges Bank cod stock of the stock recruitment relationship. So recruits are on the vertical y-axis, and there actually is, if you were to do a regression, it looks like there is a significant positive slope here. The point is that all of the recent points are circled in the lower part of the plot, which means that the spawning stock biomass in recent years is low, and the recruitment is low. And the message in here is that in order for us to expect recruitment to increase, the stock needs to rise above about 50,000 metric tons to get into the range where we've in the past seen recruitment values that are higher. And this is a plot that shows the catch and the fishing mortality rate over time. And the catch is represented by the vertical bars. In the past, the catch, there were times when catch was very high, upwards of 40,000 to 60,000 metric tons. And in recent years, it's been quite low, below 10,000 metric tons. The fishing mortality rate, which is represented by the line, shows that F has, according to the model estimates, always been above 0.4, and that's a high fishing mortality rate. In this stock assessment, there's a retrospective pattern, and the review panel recommended adjusting the final estimate to account for the retrospective pattern. And that difference shows up when, if you look at the 2011 estimate of F, which is would be the final value in that line, the red dot that's above that for 2011, that represents the adjusted estimate of fishing mortality rate when the model is adjusted for the retrospective pattern. So it's saying that the model, the raw result from the model is that F is about 0.2, but when you adjust for the retrospective pattern, it's actually much higher and goes up to about 0.43. Now, I'll show this in a moment, but the F40% value is 0.18, so whether you adjust or not, the conclusion would be that overfishing is occurring. And this is a plot that shows the spawning stock biomass and recruitment from 1978 to 2011. Over time, the biomass, which is represented by the red line, has decreased from above 80,000 metric tons in the late 70s and throughout the 80s down to below 20,000 metric tons, and it's remained at that level since 1994 all the way to the present. And the recruitment is shown here by year with the vertical bars. And again, you can see that the high recruitments which took place occurred in the late 1970s and throughout the 1980s. And recruitment has been low since 1991. This is a table which summarizes the reference points that are coming out of this stock assessment and the population estimates of F and SSB and the stock status. So the proxy for FMSY, F40% is 0.18. The spawning stock biomass target is about 186,000 metric tons. And MSY for this stock, if it were to be rebuilt, is 30,000 metric tons. The population estimates, the adjusted F is 0.43, which is above 0.18, so the conclusion is that overfishing is occurring. The adjusted spawning stock biomass for 2011 is 13,000 metric tons, and that is below the SSB threshold, so the stock is overfished. And here is a summary slide that shows just as it's the same kind of slide that I showed for Gulf of Maine cod. It's the time series of the track of what the population has been doing through time. On one scale, it's F relative to FMSY proxy, and on the other axis, it's the biomass relative to the SSB target. And again, all the points are in the upper left quadrant of that graph, which means that overfishing has been occurring throughout the time series. The current value is indicated by the point at the end of that line with the circle and the confidence intervals. And it shows both the estimate from the model as well as the triangle, which is the adjusted value, adjusted for the retrospective pattern. And then finally, a couple comments about the projections. The panel chose projections based on M of 0.2 with starting values adjusted for the retrospective pattern. And they felt that this accounted for the retrospective pattern but did not identify the specific causes of the pattern. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Weinberg. I am going to start at this side of the table, and we'll go right around with people having questions for him, and then I'm going to go to the audience. Dr. Pierce, you?
Thanks, Jim. Just a couple of things. This is a Gulf of Maine cod assessment redo. And everyone appreciated the fact that the center would go to those lengths to reevaluate, reexamine. Could you explain briefly what was done in this assessment redo that was different from the previous assessment? Obviously, something had to happen that was different. It wasn't just a repeat of past performance. A lot of hard work went into this. So, what's the difference between then and now?
Yeah, well, I think the things that I explained in my talk about the terms of reference, all of those things that I mentioned were either new or were reevaluated in this assessment with new data. And in addition to that, there were several workshops that were held in response that were new. There was a workshop held on discard mortality rate that involved scientists and the fishermen in order to get better estimates of what the discard mortality rates should be that are used in the model. And in fact, so those new updated discard mortality rates were used. There was also a similar workshop for the landings per unit of effort information and how to use it. So that was new. There were also revisions made to considering the natural mortality rate. There were there was a workshop held on stock ID, and there were also revisions that are described in the summary report on how the data were used, the time series. I'd have to refer to the document, but the assessment scientist actually was able to go into the database and use the most recent year of data. And in some cases, because they were able to have three working group meetings, they evaluated the data in quality in the first meeting, but then this evolved over time. Once they brought the data into the modeling meeting, they saw how things performed, and then they went on to a third meeting on biological reference points. So I think that, you know, to give you a really good answer, I'd have to go refer back to the SSC report that made recommendations on what needed to be added. But I think it's clear from what I mentioned that a lot of things were reconsidered or added into this assessment. So it in a sense, it was an update of what had been done before, but it was a benchmark because so many new things came in and were reconsidered.
Yeah, thank you. I did attend that workshop of sorts. It was in Gloucester on landings per unit of effort, and the center scientists who provided the information, actually there were a few of them, they did a great job, very convincing, very compelling, and I found that to be very, very helpful. Now, in this assessment redo, you mentioned the stock assessment. You mentioned the workshop dealing with stock structure, the boundaries of stocks, the boundaries for the different stocks. That information could not be included in this assessment redo. Am I correct? You were obliged to still use the same boundaries despite the conclusions of the workshop, right?
Yeah, that's generally correct. The term of reference was to review the summary of what had been done, and that was included in the report. There was a description of the meeting that went on through GMRI. But in addition, if you look into the appendices of the assessment report, the assessment scientist did some preliminary analyses to examine whether it would make a difference to the outcome of the assessment if one were to split the stock into a Western Gulf of Maine and splitting it in different ways. And I want to emphasize that this was preliminary and that a lot more, there would be a lot of additional things that would need to be done to make it reviewable for an actual stock assessment. But the general conclusion from that preliminary analysis was that it wouldn't make a difference. I know there's been a lot of talk about restructuring the boundaries of this, but the preliminary information indicates that this will not be this will not cause a revolutionary change in our perception of the stock status.
Okay, thank you. Last question. In our material for today's meeting, we have a correspondence section, and there is a January document from Dr. Butterworth, I guess his associate, Rebecca Redemeyer, and it says, response to the SOC 55 summary report regarding Gulf of Maine cod. I looked it over. I wasn't at the SOC. I did listen to a little bit, but I'm trying to reconcile the findings or this particular response to the SOC work. I'm trying to reconcile this response to what has come out of the SOC. I know Dr. Butterworth was a participant at the SOC. I don't know all the dealings that he had and how his thoughts, recommendations were considered. But he's got some rather profoundly different outcomes here as to the status of Gulf of Maine cod, as shown on page 13 of that correspondence with us, where he shows that we are getting close to BMSY for Gulf of Maine cod. We are less than the FMSY value, and it goes on and on and on. So how would you recommend the council deal with this particular document that has findings so dramatically different from what came out of the SOC?
Well, I think we have to go back a little bit. Dr. Butterworth was a member of the SAW working group, and attended several of the working group meetings, and then when the information that went to the review panel was reviewed, his work was included with the material that went forward for peer review by this SARC panel. And he had time on the agenda to present these analyses. The review panel, for several reasons, ended up not accepting his model. And that was a decision that the SARC panel made. Then when the meeting ended, I believe that this report that you're referring to was sent after the peer review concluded. So what I've reported to you today are the results from the peer review that took place in December. The document you're referencing came in after that, and it's a restatement or a rebuttal probably of a number of the issues that Dr. Butterworth was talking about when he was a member of the working group and when he presented his analyses to the peer review panel. So I believe the document you're referring to was sent to the council, and Dr. Karp was copied on it, but it's a report that was sent to the council, not really to the Science Center. So this is something that we have not reviewed and have not, and I haven't, and I'm not discussing it here because it is something that came in after what I'm reporting on.
Dave Preble, do you have any question? Okay. Matt? Vince?
Thank you, Jim, for an excellent presentation. On slide number 13, I have a question. As you pointed out, the terminal few years there are linear, or seem to be sort of linear for both models, but they seem to be converging on another point, on a single point. And on the next slide, the estimates for spawning stock biomass seem to do the same thing. Is there some ominous significance to the fact that they seem to be converging, or is that just an artifact of the fact that the populations are at a very low level right now?
I'm not sure of the answer to that, but I think that perhaps you're on the right track, that when the population is at a very low level, the difference that it can, there, it has less scope for being different, and the models are giving a similar trend. But I really couldn't answer the question.
Dave Gaith.
Yeah. My question was on the MSY for Gulf of Maine cod. I don't know what slide it was. I think it was range from 9,300 to 13,000 or thereabouts. Yeah, that's it. And my question is, and I mean, I've asked this question of every stock assessment going back to the 1990s, so it's not a new question, but if you look at the historic records and you assume that all the cod landed came out of the Gulf of Maine, which we know they didn't. I mean, they fished the, you know, Bank of Row, the Gas Bay, Grand Banks. They didn't really start fishing Georges Banks till the Civil War because they considered the place to be the home of the devil. Because there were so many one-way trip, high fisherman mortality, not fishing mortality. But at any rate, if you look at those landings, and we have to assume that the landings, if anything, are probably overinflated because they paid a bounty by the ton for fish landed to boat owners because they wanted to maintain ships in case they needed to commandeer them in times of war. They paid, I think it was 5 cents a ton or something like that. But at any rate, if you look at the landings from about 1830 on, there's pretty good landings information for cod. And for every year that we have a landing much in excess of 9,000 tons, for the 4 or 5 years following that, the landings dropped to 4,000 to 6,000 tons, somewhere in that range. So we have to conclude that the landings were probably unsustainable. And yet, according to this number and these reference points, we should be able to get to 9,300 at some point and maintain it year in and year out. So I still question these reference points. They just don't seem to be seen in anything in modern history. So, you know, I have to conclude one of two things. Either we've been overfishing here since the, you know, dawn of recorded history, or these reference points are too high. So I'd just like some comment on that, because they keep getting reference points out of all these assessments. They've been dropping over the years. They've been up, sometimes up towards 80,000 tons for MSY, you know, for spawning stock biomass. We're down to 59,000. We're getting closer. But they just don't seem to match what we've seen in history. So are we trying to get to a point that we've never seen in recorded history, or am I, you know, what are we missing here?
Yeah, again, I think that it's hard for me to answer your question. That I'm more of a reporter on the results of this, and to comment on whether numbers are too high or too low is kind of outside of my role in this. But I'm just looking at the figure 12 that shows the catch. And in this, so what we're saying is that MSY, according to the new model, if the stock were rebuilt to, say, 80,000 or 50 to 80,000 metric tons, that MSY would be roughly 10,000. So the values that they're taking, that have been taken in the 1980s, were upwards of 10 to 20,000 metric tons. So they're saying, according to this, that the MSY would be lower than the catch that was being taken during the 80s and 90s, but higher than what's being been taken in the 2000s. So the MSY is somewhere between the values from the 80s and the low values that have been taken recently. So it doesn't seem to me to be that much out of bounds with a reasonable number. But beyond that, I just don't know how to respond to your question.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's a fair response. I mean, I would agree with you. The numbers in the early 80s there, over 10,000 tons, were clearly too high. The price was paid by 1996 when you see it dropping rapidly down to virtually nothing. And then they come up and they seem to kind of stabilize. So it would appear to me that somewhere around 6,000 tons is a more sustainable number, 5 to 6,000, somewhere in there, over a long period of time. And I'm just concerned that a lot of what's driving the decisions we're about to make today is based on trying to get to a number that we may not be able to get to. So, I think this slide actually illustrates my point quite nicely. Thank you.
Terry? John?
Jim, you illustrated one relationship, I'm not sure on which slide, between low level of stock and low level of recruitment that sets up what I would say is something like a vicious circle, and that is the lower level of spawning stock biomass, the lower level of recruitments. Lower level of recruitments is going to make it harder for the stock to regenerate. And so I wonder if there might be another similar vicious circle that comes with a low spawning stock biomass. And that is that with a low level of stock, obviously you get high economic stress, which we have now, and then people questioning science and focusing on scientific uncertainty, and so I wondered, with low stock levels, what is the relationship with the degree of difficulty of performing a stock assessment and the levels of uncertainty? Is it, I'm obviously not the scientist, but is it harder to get to count large stocks versus small stocks? Do you achieve lower levels of uncertainty with higher? Getting this confusing. Sorry about my question, but I think you get my drift. The lower levels of stock, is you end up with higher levels of uncertainty. You know what I'm trying to ask? Help me out here, Jim.
I think that it's, I think Mary Beth just answered it. She's becoming a scientist. That when it's really the signal in the fishing mortality rate that is driving whether or not we can estimate parameters. And it's when F becomes very low that a lot of things vary in the model, and it's difficult to attribute them to anything. But if there's a signal from the catch that can be modeled, and in this case there seems to be, then the estimates are fairly reliable. But I think to step back from this, modelers play a big role in this, but they're also biologists and biological considerations. And as I mentioned, in this assessment, they considered the biology of the fish. And they looked at the truncation of the age structure, the lower weights of the Georges Bank fish, and things like that, changes in the maturity schedule. And all of those kinds of signals tell you something about the stock in addition to the math. So these results that I've shown are primarily the results of mathematicians doing biology with, in math. But they did also consider some natural history and life histories of the fish. So, and I think that's consistent with the conclusions.
Frank?
Yes, thank you. Jim, I got a question. I'm not sure if it's for you or for the SSC or maybe for both, but I tend to agree with the Georges Bank assessment. I think we are probably at an all-time low compared to what we've seen in recent history. But there seems to, and everything we're hearing, most stocks are moving to the north and to the east, but there seems to be something happening in southern New England through the mid-Atlantic on the cod stock, and that is that we seem to have very good recruitment. I should probably let Mark ask these questions because he's more of a scientist than I am. But there's good recruitment, there's fish populating areas, they're spread out over a geographic range of, it's defying logic from everything else that's in the assessments. And I'm just wondering if there was any discussion on that at the SARSARC process or the SSC, or if somebody can explain what's happening there.
Yeah, Frank, I know you've told me about this before, so I don't think it was discussed at the SARC, and so I don't have an answer for you, but I think it's something to think about in the future.
All right, thank you.
You know, just amplify Frank's points. I'm, you know, looking at our trawl survey catch, and you know, we used to catch cod in the early to late 80s. They disappeared entirely for a decade, and then the young of the year started to appear in the early 2000s, and older fish started to appear in the past 3 years. I don't have the 2012 information yet. We haven't caught a lot of cod, but when you see a complete absence and then a complete, you know, a reappearance again in multiple size and age classes, you know, it really, really makes me wonder about the, you know, the stock structure assumptions and the assessment strata that we're operating on. You know, we're really not understanding something here, and I mean, I don't have an answer for it. I just amplify Frank's point. He catches them, and, you know, I look at the numbers and charts, so something's happening that we don't understand.
Jim, I got a question. 20 years of low recruitment in Georges Banks and the Gulf of Maine. What do you as a scientist attribute that to?
Well, again, I'm supposed to be reporting on the results of the SARC and not my personal opinions. So I'll try to kind of bridge both worlds. The estimates are telling us that the overfishing has been occurring in both stocks for this entire time period. So that's certainly one factor here. I know a lot of people are also talking about climate changes and changes in predator fields and all of that. And we certainly cannot dismiss other factors here. The fish don't live in a vacuum by themselves, and that they're all affected by lots of factors. But I know from reading through the review panel report, I searched for the word regime shift and things like that to see whether they actually were going down that road, and that they did not ever make the statement that they thought there had been a regime shift. So if they had said that, I think I would have been presenting you a different kind of report, but they didn't conclude that.
So I think I'm in Dave Gaethel's camp here as far as these graphs that you've shown for both of the stocks. And I don't know if 20 years is long enough to say that there's an environmental change, but in my opinion, yes. I've been fishing long enough to know that, you know, we caught 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 tons of fish for 40, 50 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're looking at 1,500 ton quotas. So there's definitely something going on, then not reproducing at the rate they should be. The water's too warm, the whatever. And today we're going to be discussing reference points, and I just want to know where the science people, whether or not the science people agree that maybe there is a environmental change to. So that was just
a follow-up on that. And it actually gets into I listened in on the SSC meeting, and they talked about this. And I know Mike Fogarty, who's very familiar with the literature and all on, and does research on the environment and ecosystems. And he talked about research in the Gulf of Maine that has indicated that there have been some big environmental changes. But then when he was pushed a little bit further to drill in and say, well, what can we say about Gulf of Maine cod? He said, well, there's not a direct link between those studies and what we can say about mortality or anything else specifically about Gulf of Maine cod. So, again, the research is out there, and there are clues, but the linkage to the fish that we're talking about today don't seem to be there.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I also want to take the time to thank the Science Center for doing this stock assessment. I know when we were presented with the previous one from 2010, it showed some rather stark cuts that we were going to have to make, and it was important. I think it was very important that we try and look at, do a real thorough analysis of the input data, and I think you stepped up to the plate to try and get that done, and I appreciate it. My next comment with this assessment that was probably the most stark thing to me that came out of this was the recruitment here. And that, quite frankly, scared me to death because we've had what it's showing is 5 straight years of declining recruitment to the lowest level, at least in the 30 years of the assessment. And that's not something that's been seen, at least in this 30 years of the assessment, 5 straight years of declining. We've seen ups and downs and all arounds and maybe had a couple years of declining recruitment, but not 5 straight. It kind of reminds me of northern shrimp, which is what we're seeing right now with northern shrimp here, where we've seen 3 straight years of essentially recruitment failure. So it really is a very sobering piece of information that I saw in here. My questions for you is concerning, one, the natural mortality, and two, the reference points. There was clearly, at least in the Gulf of Maine stock assessment, some desire on the part of some of the reviewers, some of the assessment scientists, that there has been an increase in natural mortality, and that's why that one model, the MRAMP model, was put up. Was there any, like in herring, we had some food data that sort of suggested that natural mortality had increased. Was there anything that was discussed, one, what the reason that they decided to put a higher natural mortality, and was there any empirical data that backed up this? And then I've also heard that when they were calculating the reference point, they calculated as if it was going to go back down. So if you could give us a little more enlightenment as to the discussion that went on for M, and then after that I have a question about the reference point.
Yes, I can answer that. There was some information from a tagging study that was done on cod, a couple of tagging studies, and the way those tagging studies can be used, one can estimate natural mortality rate. And based on some of the calculations, they indicated that the natural mortality rate of cod was much higher than 0.2. And I think some of the estimates could be as high as 0.6. And the problem was that in the way you analyze those models, certain assumptions have to be made. For instance, what's the return rate on different types of tags? And when they started really, again, examining more closely, there were at least 2 or 3 different factors that raised some questions about the reliability of the conclusions drawn from the tagging studies. And so although the tagging studies on the surface did all indicate that M was higher. They relied a lot on assumptions in the analysis. And then I mentioned before that the data meeting looked at some things, but then once they got into the modeling meeting, they did additional things, which allowed them to reflect back on their conclusions. And in the modeling, they started looking at the profile, the likelihood profile of the natural mortality rate, and they found that it was very flat, which related to the tagging studies. And so, in other words, the value of M really could be anywhere between 0.1 and 0.6, and there really wasn't a strong likelihood signal there that it should be as high as 0.6. So that was some insight that they got at the modeling meeting, which added some additional doubt about jumping, you know, to the conclusion just based on the tagging studies. They also, I mentioned the life history information, and they considered the lifespan of cud and other factors related to the life history, like whether they seem to be changing their growth rate or anything like that. There weren't indications, there weren't strong indications that M was changing based on other factors. So that was sort of the background, and then they ended up going forward with the two models, with M 0.2, which was the traditional approach, and they retained the M of 0.4, largely based on the tagging information. And did that answer your question, or did I not finish?
The only other thing, and maybe that I didn't hear come out, is then didn't they then, when determined in, for either projections or reference point, that there was going to return? Why do they think that it's going to go back to 0.2?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why they determined that. I think they felt that historically it had been 0.2, and there was, based on the weight of evidence, they felt that in the long term it was likely to be 0.2, and that because there was some evidence that it had recently increased to 0.4, that wasn't enough to convince them that it would stay at 0.4 for the long term. So they decided to base their biological reference points on the M of 0.2, which had a longer... Basically, there seemed to be more evidence, I think, in their minds that was the correct value to use.
And then my final question is, there's been some questions brought forward about because there's not a stock recruitment relationship, we can't actually calculate FMSY, so we have a proxy for it. And a decision, it looks like, from the materials here was made back in 2002 or before, that F40% was the most appropriate proxy for this. Is there any, I couldn't find any thing that I could grab onto as to why they chose F40. I know there was a consideration in one of the assessments for F35, but that was rejected. So I was wondering, 35% MSP. I was wondering if you had any background information or enlightenment as to why 40% MSP versus 30 versus 35 was chosen.
You're correct that there's there have been working groups that have worked on this, and the publication that most people refer to is the 2002 paper that you refer to. It was a whole working group that was put together, and this working group had people on it from all over the country, including Rick Mathot and Grant Thompson and others who are at the national level for determining the appropriate methods to be used in stock assessments. And I really can't give you the details of what they did in their working group, but they evaluated it from different angles, looking at a lot of empirical studies of fish, some of which are like cod and others are like flounders and so forth. Based on a lot of different types of information, they came up with that number of F40 as being a reasonable one to use as a proxy for this. And then when the GARM took place in 2008, they used the value that was recommended by that biological reference point working group. And then this panel again talked about it a little bit, and they didn't go into detail about whether it should be F35 or F45 or F40, but they said they didn't have any information that there was a better approach, so they retained it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to start by echoing a lot of Doug's comments. I want to express my appreciation for the work of the Science Center and Jim and both doing these analyses and presenting them here. Again, in following up on some of the questions Doug raised with regards to natural mortality, I understand there's differing opinions and perhaps some dynamics and changes in that value over time, and there was a discussion about what the appropriate value to use was and what the likelihood was. But maybe I missed it in your presentation, Jim, but was there a specific sensitivity analysis that was done with regards to the full range of possible natural mortality values and its impacts on model outputs or, you know, important parameters coming out of the model, the results, basically?
Yeah, I'm sure that analysis was done because they did about 40 different sensitivity analyses, but I can't tell you what the results are because that's one that I didn't do my homework on.
Well, I'm glad I found one.
PK?
Yes, thank you, Jim. Can you give me a sense of how much influence the total catch and the CPUE has on the model?
Well, the total catch is important because that's the signal for getting the fishing mortality rate. So I'm not quite sure where you're going with this, so that would help me to answer.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear because my comment is, and it's similar to what Dave and Terry touched on too. I mean, if you put the slide up there of the catch of Gulf of Maine cod and the Georges Bank cod, the landings took a significant decrease right after the Magnuson Act was reauthorized. And I just would like to make a comment that it's very misleading since that time because, I mean, that's when we were down to 30 pounds of cod a year. And, you know, I just want the public, also it's public perception, too. Not only does it affect the models, but public perception of the landings have been down since those years. Well, they've been down because we've been ratcheted down. We haven't been able to catch them. We could catch a lot more, but some of those years we were 30 pounds, so I just don't like the way the landings, the total catch and total landings go through the models. I'll comment on CPUE. No, go ahead, and then I'll...
The models are independent of whether you were restricted by regulations or not. The models are looking at how much was removed from the population and estimating the fishing mortality rate. So the fact that the catch was very low in this period, the scientists aren't drawing a conclusion in the model that the stock is low from that. They're drawing the conclusion from the fact that when they compare the removals to the estimate of the stock size, the fishing mortality rate is high. That's what they're looking at. So if the regulations restrict the trip limits or what you can take or something like that, the scientists recognize that, and they're not jumping to the conclusion automatically that the stock is depleted. They recognize that regulations are important, and they can be what's constraining the catch in the recent years. but the model is still calculating F based on the removals relative to the stock size, and those Fs are high.
Well, just a comment on that, though. I still think it's inherent, and I'm sure we'll get into it in a little bit here, too, about even the numbers we're not reaching this year. And so I'm still just leery of using those numbers. And as far as the CPUE as well, you mentioned it earlier in your report about 10-minute square, where back a few years ago, that's where most of the landings come from. And as a fisherman and as a business person, I mean, you know, are you going to go and catch your daily quota an hour from shore, or are you going to travel 2 hours from shore? It doesn't mean, again, I don't like the way the CPUE is used as well, because it's very misleading to some of the numbers that you put through the model because of that reason.
Yeah, again, I think there's a little bit of a misconception about how that's used. I didn't present the maps, but one of the results that it's actually an important result in this stock assessment, there are GIS maps which show from our surveys the catch of Gulf of Maine cod through time. And if you look at the maps, there were large circles of catches of cod up through the Maine coast and some further offshore in, I believe, in the 60s and 70s. And through time, it's just been contracting. And the assessment uses this index called the Gini index, which is used in economics. And it tells you how much things are spread out or whether they're relying on one particular component of a process. And the model is looking at the Gulf of Maine that way. And the Gini index is simply increasing through time. It's reflecting the fact that the stock is no longer spread out through all the squares in the Gulf of Maine, but it's more and more in one location. So the index from our survey is consistent with the fact that the fishermen are fishing where they are. So, and that's not related to the commercial LPUE, which is, you know, that's a different variable.
Okay, so that doesn't use the VTRs? That is your survey, or does that use the VTRs from fishermen as well?
No, the results I was just describing about the Gini index, and those are from our research survey catches per tow, and they show the contraction of the stock. And that was in the assessment last year, and the maps are in this assessment as well.
Laura?
Hi, Jim. Thank you very much. And I'm definitely not a scientist, so let me know if I've gone astray. On slide 9 in the Gulf of Maine cod, we talked about whether or not you were going to use earlier, or the SARC was going to use earlier reference points from the 1960s. And something was said that was a little bit startling to me. Well, first of all, they said the data might have been linked. Biosampling prior to 1982 was poor, and the wreck catch data was not available to 1981. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I do have a strong desire for consistency. And John Bullard spoke yesterday about buying into the science so we don't waste time going back. But I do find it inconsistent that we're not using this science because we're worried about the biosampling prior to 1982, but yet we have very poor sampling in the yellowtail assessment, and we're fine using that. So I just it offends my sense of desire for consistency that we use science, it seems, when we need to, when we don't. And the second part of the comment on slide 9 was that we chose not to use it once we saw that it would make a significant difference in the levels of landings. And that sort of goes to what Jimmy Odlin said yesterday, that the council needs to stay relevant. And so if we're, that's a policy choice. And so I think I would have preferred as a council member to have the choice to look at the two levels and then make that decision, obviously recognizing everything else that's going on and trying to be as conservative as possible. But by deciding not to use that data, despite strong arguments for using it and the use of that data in other models, a pretty impactful policy choice was made that took that decision out of our hands. So that would be my first comment. And then my second comment is just on Georges Bank COD.
Could I respond to those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Before I forget, I'd rather respond. I think that we agree with you that we would like to be consistent across our stock assessments, but we can't be completely consistent because each one has different data that go into them. And for each of the stock assessments, we consider the data that are available and the quality. And they do vary. For instance, you'll see that between even the Georges Bank COD and the Gulf of Maine COD, the starting year is slightly different. And that reflects the sampling that was done in the early period. So that's the explanation for why there are some differences between our assessments and why they and when they start. And in the simple some of our simpler stock assessments, which only rely on a survey index, they can go back quite early in time because that's the only information going in. But in a model in this kind of an assessment, which is an analytical model, it's pulling in all kinds of different data streams. And when you do it that way, it's very important to consider the quality of each of those data streams going back in time. And that is essentially how the working group worked and determined which year to start with. The one thing that you said I have to disagree with, what you implied, they didn't select the starting year in order to achieve a particular kind of preferred catch stream for the fishermen. That was not the way it was done. They were looking at the quality of the data and the reliability of the stock recruitment relationship that you could get from that and the reliability of the reference points that you get if you base the stock recruitment curve on the early data. So I just can't agree that they were looking for a particular result that would impact the fishery in one way or another. They don't work that way.
Could I just add something, Mr. Chairman? I think this is a very important point to tease out, so I'm glad that the question was raised, and I think Jim's response is right on the mark. But I think this issue of consistency is important, and the consistency that we're looking at is consistency of the way that we look at the data and we make decisions with regard to what is and is not best use of the data. And as Jim said, that varies. So the extent to which historic data, particularly data that goes way back in time, helps us to understand what is going on now really varies enormously, both as a result of the quality of that data, as Jim mentioned, and also relative to the status of the stock. And this is, this discussion we're having now about whether there is or is not some change in the ecosystem which is being realized in the status of the stock or not is really germane to this. There's no question that there are changes going on in the system. There's also no question that we have yet to be able to make that linkage, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. But it does mean that in many cases, the historic data, particularly the data that goes way back in time, contributes less to our understanding of what's going on now.
Just two other things quickly. I would just echo the issues on the spawning stock biomass. I looked at Georges Bank COD. We're looking at a spawning stock biomass target of 186,000 metric tons. And as I look at your chart on page 26, even in, and again, as David said, I don't know how far back we need to go in history, but our best year was maybe 130,000 metric tons. So it does concern me that that our levels are so high, particularly on the stock. And then the final thing I just would like to add is when I look on page 25 or slide 25, I look at the catch of Georges Bank cod. It was about 5,000 metric tons from the year 2004 through 2011, I guess, is the last year. And as I look at the corresponding spawning stock biomass on the bottom, I see that the stock has grown over that time with that level of catch. And when I sat in the SSC meeting, they said that the Georges Bank cod stock is actually stable and slightly increasing. So as we do look later at the levels of catch that are allowable, and I would just add one other thing that someone said at the SSC, there's no indication that low levels of catch are actually going to impact the stock. That was a scientist speaking. That's not a seafood processor speaking. I just want to say that history has shown that at a 5,000 metric ton catch level, we've had an increasing spawning stock biomass. So I just want to be mindful of that as we set the levels that are going to have severe impacts later. Thank you.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question relative to your last slide on Georges Bank cod, and hopefully I'll state the question correctly, but I think you'll understand what I'm getting at. And we certainly have seen retrospective patterns emerge in other assessments, and generally when we see that, we'll see a graph presented and the model is done with no adjustments for the retrospective pattern. And then after the fact, you look at it and look at the range of what that retrospective pattern does and make a determination of whether you're going to do any adjustments. This particular case, it says that the starting values were adjusted for the retrospective pattern, so we don't see that graph, and we don't have a sense of how significant that is. And that seems different. And I was wondering if you could speak to why the difference and then maybe give us some sense of what the significance of the pattern is, a range of some kind.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think it's a little confusing maybe. When it says the starting values, that's referring to 2011. It's not referring to the beginning of the time series. So it's actually not different from what has been done in the past. They got an estimate from the model of the stream of biomass estimates for each year and the stream of F estimates for each year. And then when they did the projections, they took the final year estimates from 2011 and they adjusted them for the retrospective pattern. So the biomass went down and the F went up. And those values, those adjusted values, were used in the projection program to project forward what the stock would be doing, because they felt that the adjusting for the retrospective pattern was a better representation of the actual values in the final year of the model to project forward with. And those values are actually shown in the graphs. If you look at the graph on page, this one here, if you see, there's that dot at the bottom with the error bars around it. It's the circle. And then there's a triangle up to the upper left. That's the one with, if you adjust the final year, that's how it would change the estimates. And so the triangle is the one that was used in the projections to go forward.
I wish I understood this graph better, but maybe you could just tell us, I mean, when we looked at, for example, looked at the retrospective pattern in not the most recent herring assessment, but the prior one, there was an adjustment of 40%, and so and that was based on the range that was presented in the pattern. So this graph, I don't really understand it. If you could just perhaps give us what the range of the adjustment that was made.
Yeah, I can do that. If we look at this slide, which has the, if you look at the final point of spawning stock biomass is the line, the red line. So if you look at the final point of the red line for 2011, there's a plus sign below that. That the plus sign is the adjusted value of biomass after you've adjusted for the retrospective pattern. So it you can see how much it brings it down. And then there's a similar graph here which shows for the fishing mortality rate, the dot is the adjusted F for the final year.
So on that fishing mortality rate here went from a 0.22 or to above 0.4.
Correct.
So that's it's probably 40 something percent. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, it's big, and they point that out in the stock assessment, that this assessment has a significant retrospective pattern, and they couldn't identify the cause of the pattern, as that's a conclusion that's been drawn in the past, and they felt that the best way to handle it in the projections was to adjust for it and go forward with the adjusted values.
So was there a discussion of trying to reconcile this retrospective pattern and what steps we should be taking in the future? I mean, when we think about these things of the past, it's missing mortality, you know, higher M, all those things, and I'm just wondering if there's a plan going forward to try to address this.
Yeah, I think this council probably knows more about retrospective patterns than a lot. Because they appear in a lot of stock assessments, and it's just not unique to the Northeast. This is in stock assessments in other parts of the world. They also have retro patterns in their models. The Science Center and in Europe as well, there have been a lot of working groups to try to figure out the best way to handle retrospective patterns, and our people have been very involved in those. The main problem is that in order to produce a model that has a good fit, all of the variables that are affecting the model, it really is important to have some sort of a cause and effect relationship to know what's causing the lack of fit. For instance, if you feel that the catch data are underestimated, there should be some good evidence for how much. Or if you feel that the natural mortality rate you're using is wrong, there should be some hard evidence, like you have predators out there that you can point to a data set that gives you a quantitative estimate of how much, and then you can put that into the model. But if in the absence of that kind of hard scientific data, it's better to not try to pin everything on some unreliable cause. They feel that it's generally better to take the result that you have, recognize that there's something going on that's causing a lack of fit, and then to make an adjustment for it. But that doesn't mean that they're trying to sweep it under the rug. They really recognize that this is an issue, and a lot of attention has been paid to trying to deal with it.
Thank you, Jim. You're not entirely out of the hot seat yet. My intention, just so that everybody knows what the process is going to be, I'm going to ask for some questions from the audience concerning the assessment. I am going to ask people. We've had quite a range of questions that have come from the council members. And I would ask people to try not to be repetitive of the questions that were asked. This is not the time to make comments on the potential actions that will come this afternoon. This is a time for trying to focus questions in on the science. After the questions, then we are going to take a 10-minute break, come back, and get into the SSC report, which is, again, science-based. Okay, I saw Don's hand and Jim and Maggie.
Don Swanson, Coastal Conservation Association, New Hampshire. I'm also on the Recreation Fishing Advisory Panel. In your fourth slide, on the assessment tours for 2012, on the first bullet there, at the MRI Emirates workshop, we asked about the mortality rate for the recreational fishermen. At that time, you were using 100% mortality. I'm looking here. It says evaluate available information on discard mortality and, if appropriate, update mortality rates. Is there anything been done about updating the mortality rate for the recreational fishermen? And what figure are they using now?
Yeah, I actually have that number somewhere. And they did use they came up with different rates for each fishery, and I believe the recreational one is 30% that went into the model. But it would take me a minute to find the table.
So it was definitely adjusted way down.
Oh, yeah, it was adjusted. And they did use those new values in the model. And this is kind of interesting. They found that when they put the values in the model that were recommended by that working group or that meeting that you participated in, the model didn't fit as well. So it was suggesting that, at least from a mathematical perspective, the values that they were using before made the model fit better. And when they put in the information that was suggested, that based on everyone agreeing to new discard estimates, the model didn't fit as well. But it wasn't a showstopper. It just caused a bit more lack of fit in the model.
Thank you.
Jim Odlin.
My name is Jim Odlin. I'm a recovering ex-council member and a commercial fisherman with 5 fishing boats. Jim, I've been involved with the track for several years now, and we've been getting 2 models out of the track. Both were told to us for many years now, probably 3 or 4 years, that they were equally plausible. One was 0.20 and one was 0.50. So we've got Eastern Georgia's Bank with 2 models, equally plausible, 1.20, 1.50. We've got the Gulf of Maine on M. I'm talking about M, just for the record. But, and we got the Gulf of Maine stock that we now see is showing tendencies to be a higher M than 0.2. Now you're looking at 0.40. So the stock in the middle has had no change in natural mortality in an area where we know has the most seals, that the dogfish spend the most time, and has the biggest biomass of skates involved. It just, I can't get my arms around that. Something is not adding up in those differences.
Yeah, that's related to that retrospective pattern in the Gulf of Maine cod in the Georges Bank cod assessment. There's a retrospective pattern. Now, that retrospective pattern in that assessment could be fixed if in the model we were to assume that the natural mortality rate was higher. The analysts could find the exact value of M that would make the model fit perfectly. But apparently they felt that it was better at this point to just live with the retrospective pattern and make the adjustment rather than to put all their eggs in one basket and say it's definitely a change in M and this is the new value of M, so that they did not do that.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to a lot of these debates over the webinar, and by the way, you got to buy a better microphone down there. I mean, we got an $85 million boat and we got a $10 microphone. It's just disgusting how we can't hear what's going on. But I did hear something that really caught my eye, and I think somebody on the council was mentioning that. And it was a statement, and I couldn't tell who in the room made it, okay, because I have a lousy microphone to listen to this, and I can't get there all the time. The statement was, we can't consider a higher M because it would lead to a higher catch, right? That's not science, right? That's just crazy. That's somebody's biases all over the place. I mean, if it was me, that person, I don't know who said it. They should have been kicked out of the room. So it just seems to me that you're making the statement. You still haven't explained why there's the difference, right? But you're saying that you could correct retrospective pattern by with a higher M. I would say that's leading you to the conclusion that there's a higher M, you know, and that needs to be more fully vetted. So my next point is that in the beginning of your statement, you mentioned something about, well, the industry isn't going to catch their quota. Well, there's a lot of things that go on in fishing, you know, as you've said, regulations, but there's a lot of other things. We only catch, I don't know, where we're fishing, less than 10% of the water column. I mean, that's the effect of where we fish. If the fish, for some reason, record high temperatures in the Gulf of Maine are not available to catch, you don't catch them. If, which I maintain, we used to catch most of the cod in the Gulf of Maine relatively close to shore, there's 8 million traps in the way, and you can't go to where the traps are. That's going to lead where the cod are. That's going to lead you not to be able to catch the cod there, and it's also affecting the survey. So, I think that's, you know, on one side of it, we say, well, we're not catching the fish, so that means they're not there. But when somebody catches the fish, it's because they concentrated themselves. It's just, I think Peter was onto that. Then. I've got another point, I guess, to make, not so much a question, and that is, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about how, and it's been alluded that the council and the industry haven't made the choices that they've had to make in the past. Well, the whole time I sat up there, we took the choices and we made the hard decisions and we took the advice we got and made decisions based on that. Can't be this council's fault or the industry's fault that the advice we had gotten for the past 9 or 10 years has been wrong. I mean, I think Tom Neese did a study recently that showed that we have not overshot our quotas for quite a while now, but we're not seeing anything that's getting us results out of that, according to the latest data. Can you explain that? I mean, we're taking the advice. We've done it. It's not working.
Yeah, well, That's a really important point, and you're correct. Tom did that analysis, and you've characterized it properly. And I think that it reflects that there is this retrospective pattern in the models, which generally is leading to management advice, which is too liberal. So one approach would be to do an extra buffer into that. And then when the estimate of overfishing comes in the following year, there would be the adjustment would be made a priori, and you would expect it to be closer to what you intend to take. Now, I'm not saying that makes the model any better. I'm just saying that would be a solution to go forward with, which no one has considered.
I guess I don't have any more questions. Just one comment, so maybe I won't come back. I hope I don't come back. When you guys figure out which strategies you want to take, I think it's really important. I mentioned it yesterday. This council should be the one deciding on a constant catch strategy or a linear catch strategy, not downstream. This is where you have to make the policy calls based on stock assessments, uncertainty in stock assessments, and socio and economic reasons. You decide which catch strategy you want, not somebody else downstream. Thank you.
You're welcome back anytime, Jim. Maggie, I have Maggie, then Peter Shelley, and Patrick Paquette, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break.
Thank you, Jim. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I just have a question about Gulf of Maine cod and the FMSY proxy. The report and your slide point out that the panel chose to retain the F40%, even though, basically they said there wasn't any reason to reject it and there wasn't any reason to accept something different. But it was my understanding that when they did the projections between the two different models, that when they did the projections for the MRAMP model, that they used an F of 50%. Is that correct?
No, I don't think. I think in the working group phase, that's when they were talking about an F50% as a possible proxy, and that was related to the higher M value. of M.4. But when it got into the, this is how I think, at least, during the SARC phase, they weren't considering the F-50, and that was not the basis of a projection.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused because I'll take your word for that, but the committee then at their meeting last week asked for a projection to be done with the M of 0.4 and a proxy of 40%. So
that's another that's a variation on all this.
Okay.
I believe they're asking for wanting to know what the long-term reference point would be had M been if you were to assume that M would be 0.4 in the long term, and that's a calculation that was not done at the SARC.
Okay. Thank you.
Peter Shelley.
I'd just like to follow up that the SARC didn't actually recommend using M equal to 0.4 in the long term.
Peter Shelley, Conservation Law Foundation. Jim, there has been a fairly consistent bad pattern, I guess, of overestimating biomass and underestimating F in the projections from the models, and you've talked about that a little bit. How confident are you that your current adjustments have overcome that historic consistent overprojection, and what relevance would management actions that protected or tried to enhance productivity factors in the cod stocks have to that confidence?
Well, that's a tough question for me, how confident I am in this. I think I have to consider the history which you've pointed out in the projections being biased in a particular direction. So if I were to have to, to guess, I'd say that, and I think the panel said this as well, when they made their comments about the quality of the projections, they were saying, I think that they're likely to be optimistic because the most recent recruitments are lower than the average recruitment series that's being sampled from when the projections are done. So if these very lowest recruitments from the most recent years are to continue in the near future, then the estimate of the projected biomass will actually, be overly optimistic relative to the realized biomass. And I'm not quite sure what you were asking in the second part of your question.
Well, what relevance would council actions, based on the SARC's analysis, productivity within the cod the current cod stock. I would assume that doing everything you can to increase the productivity or protect the current productivity of the standing cod stock would be important to make the recruitment estimates more robust. Is that a fair statement?
The populations can only grow in two ways, and that is to have more recruitment or to increase the growth of the fish that are out there. So anything that will contribute to that would do it.
Thank you.
Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick Paquette, recreational fishing advocate from Massachusetts. Jim, under the Days at Sea system, we went through what I would describe as unreasonable catch limits on both the recreational and commercial side of things, resulted in massive amounts of discarding that I don't think any of us are confident in the numbers in. Did those years of discarding, could that be a reason that explains the retrospective pattern, and is under the new system, are we starting to see any change? Are we starting to see the differences in mortality based on the fact that that should have ended by now?
Yeah, I think that part of the decision to start the model in 1982 had to do with the certainty about the catch streams. And the our data on discards begins with 1981. So taking the model back earlier requires doing some estimation, essentially looking at using our survey data and looking at the age structure in our survey data, and then and looking at the overall catches that are taken from the commercial and recreational fishery, and making assumptions about using the survey age length keys and basically inferring what the ages of the discards and ages of the catch would be without actually having that earlier data. So it becomes more of a mathematical exercise going back in time. So I haven't done this assessment, so I really can't answer your question that much, but I know that in the assessment they pointed out that the discards could have been substantial in the 1970s.
Okay, we will take a 10-minute break. We will reconvene at 10:35. Thank you. I am K.